This is Hacker Public Radio. Hi everyone, this is Klaatu and this is Hacker Public Radio, and this is the second part in my Icecast series, mini-series, very mini-series, probably this is probably, I don't know, last or second to the last episode in the series, but anyway, the continuation, Icecast. So in the previous episode, if you'll recall, we set up Icecast, the streaming server, the thing that creates the stream, the conduit, through which all data flows to your listeners. And we also set up and configured and turned on the ICE's streaming source, meaning the thing, the application that takes a look at your hard drive, finds some music to play, plays it into the conduit that Icecast has created for us. We used ICE's, the original, for the MP3 stream for all the users of non-free browsers and media players, and then we set up the current ICE's application to handle an AUG stream for the people with modern and free browsers and media players. We also generated a quick and dirty HTML5 web front end for all of our listeners so that they can open their old familiar application, the web browser. They can go to your site, whatever it may be, and they can click the play button, and they get the music no matter what. It doesn't matter if they're on the non-free browsers or the free browsers. It'll just play your stream. They will hear it on their computer. They will be placated because they now are entertained. It's quite easy when you think about it. I mean, I've just summed it up in about a minute, and it doesn't really take that much effort, amazingly, because it used to be one of the most puzzling things that computing ever had to offer for me. But now I kind of understand it, or at least I understand how to set it up. So what we're going to do today is take a look at some of the ways to manage your little internet radio station, and we're also going to look at alternatives to the ICE's and ICE's solutions. Not that there's anything wrong with the ICE's and ICE's solutions, it is just that ICE's, it really does one thing, and it does it well, but it does one thing, and that is it looks for something called playlist.txt in the designated folder, and it plays everything that's listed there, and when it reaches the end, it stops playing, or it might loop around, I don't remember, but I mean, it's not a terribly dynamic system in terms of, I think it loops, actually. Now that I'm thinking about it, it actually loops. It quits if there's some weird error, like you're trying to play a PDF. But yeah, anyway, point is, it's not the most dynamic thing, and there's weird things like, let's say you have a playlist of, let's just say, 3 songs. Maybe they're really long songs. They're Yes songs. So there's 3 songs, and they're playing, and then you decide, well, I really only want 2 songs. So you delete one of them. Well, now ICE's gets confused because it thought there were 3 items in this playlist, and so then it starts skipping around, getting the wrong song, thinking it's in a different place. So it's not the easiest thing to actually kind of dynamically create these playlists. What I used to do was just concatenate, but that still makes it difficult because if you mess up or if you accidentally, you know, if you take a line out not where you're currently playing, then you've thrown everything off and it gets kind of messy. It's also difficult to know where it is in the playlist. There's no indicator, right? It's just a text file. So it's hard to get kind of a status of, hey, ICE's, what song are you on right now? I mean, it's not impossible, but it's not the most fluid thing in the world. So we're going to take a look at some of the alternatives. We're also going to take a look at some of the shell scripts that I wrote to manage the ICE's and ICE's-CC workflow, because it was working for me for a very long time. I really enjoyed it. I set up a little internet radio station and sat down and just generated a bunch of shell scripts that would help me manage my playlists, my album directories, and a couple of other things. And it worked really well because I could SSH in from anywhere in the world. I could make sure that my playlists were populated and stuff like that. And if I'd been a little bit more dedicated to the idea, I probably could have done even more, like come up with scripts to calculate how much time this chunk of playlist would last for and all these other things. But in the end, I decided not to use them because I did need something a little bit more quote-unquote user-friendly, because I needed other people to take over when I wasn't around. You know, I needed other DJs. So I guess let's start with those shell scripts, because they're simple, and I'll include them in the show notes. And they were working, as I said, for quite some time. It was totally working just fine for me until it didn't. Okay, so there's a couple of different ones that I want to talk about. So we'll start with the first one called LaserTag. LaserTag is a one-liner, pretty much. It's actually a little bit more than a one-liner, but basically it's a one-liner. It was a script that I adapted from a one-line command that I used ID3V24. So that was a lot of numbers, but actually it wasn't. It was ID3V2. That's the program that I use. So this was a tagger to... It would look in a directory that was named artistName_albumtitle. It would look in that directory. It would figure out what the album name was from the second field in the directory name. It would figure out what the artist name was from the first field. And then it would tag all of those songs by that artist and that album, and also the song titles. So if the track titles were things like track1.ogg, track2.ogg, then it would just tag the track title as basically the file name, track1, track2. Not very useful, but if they were named a little bit more logically, like by the song title, then it would tag the thing as titles. So I did that just to get metadata so that the people's audio players and stuff could pick up on the metadata if they did things like that. And a lot of them do. So you might want to go through and make sure that all of your files are tagged, and that would be one way to do it. Of course, in order for that to work, you have to make sure that there are no spaces in the song titles. So I generated a quick and dirty spacer tool, which is truly quick and dirty. It's just sort of a one-liner. It's just for this title said everything with space with an underscore, and then you're done. I probably could have done that with TR, but I did it with sed. I don't care. I regret nothing. And then the real winner here, I guess, was the gen list, which is something to generate a small self-contained playlist from a directory. So I would execute gen list against a directory that contained, I don't know, let's say an album by the Hormones. So you've got the Hormones, you've got Live at Moondog. It's one album by the Hormones, so it's the Hormones_Live at Moondog Cafe or whatever it's called, and then you can gen list that, and it generates a list of all of the track titles in that directory. And of course, it does it with full path names, one title per line, and then you can generate another list from another directory, and it concatenates it to that, and it concatenates the next one to that. So you're building this long playlist, which you can then concatenate into the actual live on-air playlist.txt. I also popped in a couple of station IDs between every directory, and I just, like I said, concatenate. And that way, ISIS is basically always playing this playlist.txt, and before it gets to the bottom of that playlist.txt, I'm concatenating new albums in, so it keeps going. At the time that I was managing this little internet radio station in this way, I'm still doing the internet radio station, but at the time that I was doing it with these shell scripts, I also had a new day list, which was going to move the current playlist.txt to an archive so that I would have a record of everything that played, and then it was going to move a a fresh one into place, into playlist.txt, and it would just keep going. I never really ironed that out because I never got... By the time I was at that stage, I just kind of figured that no one but me was going to be able to ever actually use this, and I did want more people to be able to become DJs so that I didn't have to generate playlists every single day of the week for 365 days a year. So eventually I did abandon this, and again, that's why I'm going to go over some of the alternatives, because there are a couple of really good ones out there. And I think probably the easiest one, possibly, I don't know, in my mind, it's kind of the, yeah, it's the easiest and quickest, and yet it really, really does, it does work, is MPD. And this is a tip that I got from Delwyn. And Delwyn, I know from, like, IRC, I know him from a technical conference, and he's also the someone who hosts the multimedia sprints for me, version 1 and version 2. He's a great guy. He discovered, somehow, that MPD, the music player daemon, I'm sure you've probably heard of it, you've probably used it, possibly. It's a really great little tool. A lot of people just have it in their home on a home server, MPD. It's just kind of their music streaming, their music server, and it streams, and you can have all your little local network computers listening to that home server for all of the music. So you've got your own little internet radio station in your house. In the latest editions or latest versions of MPD, they're actually wired, they're already pre-programmed to be able to talk to Icecast as one of the output options. Yeah, so now you don't have to just stream MPD. You can use MPD to play music and then to stream it out to Icecast, meaning that you get not only a great back-end MPD, but you also get a really great set of front ends that have been around for quite some time. So one of the front ends that I use is called, and this is a great name, but it's NCMPCPP. So that's Ncurses Music Player C++. That's kind of how you have to remember it. NCMPCPP. And it's an Ncurses front end to MPD. So you can SSH into the server running MPD. So in this case, that would be your Icecast streaming server. Could SSH into it, fire up NCMPCPP, and manage your playlists in a pretty darned familiar kind of model. Like, oh, here's your music library, here's a playlist that you can build up, and it's kind of very interactive and very very easy to use, and it avoids hacked together shell scripts like the ones that I was using. It's also a little bit more user-friendly if you could swindle someone into going near a terminal long enough to teach them NCMPCPP. I could see that really working for you. If that's not going to work for you, there's another front end to this, and it's called GMPC. That's G as in GTK, MPC, like music player client, I guess is probably what it stands for. It's a really slick looking application as well, really easy to set up. Again, if you've got MPD installed and working and streaming to Icecast, then you can use GMPC to then interface with it. It's a GTK application, so you install it on anything with a desktop, and people can sit down, and it's a very sort of iTunes-y kind of model. You know, it's, again, your music library, a bunch of playlists, you can build the playlists, move them into order, and people who can drag and drop can use it. I mean, that's great. Most people can do that. They can get that into their routine. So that's a really nice one as well. Okay, so enough talk. Let's figure out how to get this MPD thing installed in the first place. Again, MPD, it's easy to install on most Linux and BSD distributions. All you do is do whatever you usually do to install software. So on Slackware, I might go to slackbuilds.org and download the package. I might use sport install MPD. On Debian, I'm sure it would be an aptitude install MPD, and on Fedora, it would be yum install MPD, and so on. Okay, so now that it's installed, again, you're left with the binary executable, which won't work right now out of the box, and you've got a bunch of configuration files. Actually, one. So the configuration files should ought to be in /etc/mpd.conf, possibly mpd.conf.new, whatever. Open it up in your favorite text editor, and take a look at it. This is a beast, and it's not easy, and it's going to go wrong the first time around. It's very confusing, and every distribution seems to do it a little bit differently. It is quite annoying. However, I did an episode on MPD on my other show, GNU World Order, so if you want to go over and hunt for that, I'll try to find it and maybe put it in the show notes or something, but it does exist. Come to think of it, maybe it was for Hacker Public Radio. I really don't know. It's out there somewhere. I'm sorry. I'll try to find it and put it in the show notes. For now, however, we're going to kind of do a quick run-through. So the first thing that you have to remember is that MPD is not going to run as yourself, right? The user running MPD is not going to show up as Klaatu or whoever you are. It's going to show up as something else. Maybe nobody, no group. Maybe it'll be MPD user. I don't know. It kind of depends on your distribution, to be honest. I think out of the box, it's just nobody and no group. So that means that a lot of this stuff is not going to be accessible to MPD unless, of course, it is. So you need to set things like the music directory. And if you put the music directory in some place that no other user has access to, then MPD is not going to work for you. The playlist directory needs to be placed in some location that MPD would have access to that. So all of these things are things to keep in mind. And in the configuration file, there are places that you can define what user and group MPD does indeed run as. The default is for MPD to simply run as the current user, which is kind of weird, because you don't really want MPD running as root, do you? So you should define that as the user and the group. I think, again, by default, at least on Slackware, and that's generally not altered in any way, so it's nobody and no group. And that works. It works fine. But just make sure that nobody and no group are going to have access to wherever you have it logging everything and putting all of its playlists and things like that. The port that MPD wants to listen on or run on is 6600. I've never seen any reason to change that, but it is a good number to remember because you'll need to reference it when you're using the front ends. They'll want to know what port to knock on to sort of attach themselves to MPD. Okay, so the way that I handled all of this was that I put the music directory in /usr/local/share because pretty much everyone has access to that, at least on my system. You can do it differently if you want. I did it that way so that I knew that MPD would be able to access all of the different files. Again, by default, they have it set in the configuration file so that everything goes into /music/.mpd/playlists/.mpd/database. They somehow seem to expect you to be running this as a normal user, and I don't even think it lets you do that. It's really quite bizarre. It's very frustrating, at least it has been for me the past couple of times I've set it up. I never quite understand the logic behind this configuration file. But it exists, and you just have to change it, and you can change it, so you should. So the music directory, I make /user/local/share/whatever. I do it MPD, and then I put stuff into there, but you can do it however you want to. And you'll want to make sure that the playlist directory is there, and that the DB file gets saved there, and so on and so forth. Don't get too fancy with this configuration file up front. The less you change, the less you'll have to troubleshoot when it all goes horribly wrong, and it will all go horribly wrong. Past issues that I've had were that the database file suddenly, it just, like when you first start MPD, it insists that the database file is corrupt. I have no idea why, or it won't create the database file, and then you create it, and then it says it's corrupt. It's really, there's a lot of bizarre things about MPD that I don't quite feel like I understand 100%. But it generally, in the end, does work for me. So give it a shot. It might work out of the box for you. You might find it a lot simpler than I do. Maybe I'm just not getting something. In order for you to be able to build playlists and interact with MPD, the music playing demon, you need to be able to log into the music playing demon. It's a demon, right? So it's a server. It's a service running on your server on that computer. So that means you'll be able to get clients for your laptops, for your Android phones, for lots of different things, and you can then log in to that server into the MPD instance and do cool things like rearrange your playlist or stop it or fast forward or whatever. So in order to do that, obviously you would want some level of authentication. So in the configuration file, look for the word password, and it will take you down to the permissions configuration block. If it is set, it will require a password for authorization, and then there are two like levels of permissions that they offer. So the password will be password at read, comma, add, comma, control, comma, admin. So that would be the big, I guess, master password. And so you could give that a good password, and you'd have to uncomment it and give it a good password. And then the setting, the default permissions, is just read, add, control, and admin, which is kind of a lot for not ever having a password, so I'd be careful with that. But that is an option. So if you want some people to be able to look at the current playlist, maybe add songs, maybe control the player, maybe not do admin-y type of things, then you could change that around. So you have two levels of different authentication types. One for those who have used a password to log in, and one for those who do not. The nice thing about this configuration file is that if you do a search for Icecast, it'll take you down to this configuration block for an example of a shout output for streaming to Icecast. It's all commented out by default, of course, but you can uncomment it, and then you've created an audio output, and the type is shout, the encoding is OGG. I think you can actually, I mean, I'm pretty sure it puts out MP3 as well. I don't know that I think I've tried it with that. I'd have to verify that. The name you can set to whatever you want it to be. The host, of course, again, remember in the last episode we set the Icecast host name to localhost, so you would keep that to localhost here. However, my friend Reggie, who you've probably heard on her Hacker Public Radio episodes or her own podcast called the MetaCast, she said that one time she was installing this, and instead of localhost, it just kind of demanded that it was 127.0.0.1. We looked at her Etsy hosts file, and localhost was indeed mapped to 127.0.0.1, so we're not really even sure like what that was all about. So yeah, just a little bit of experimentation may be required, but don't be too afraid too soon. The port, of course, is still 8000, because we didn't change that in the Icecast configuration. And then the mount point that you want it to create. By default, it's mpd.og. I wouldn't keep it that way personally. I'd just call it like /og or something, but whatever you want. The password is set to be hackme. It's not hackme now. It is purple llamas. Remember? Listen to the previous episode if you don't remember any of this. This is all the Icecast configuration back again. Quality is 5.0 by default. You can set it to higher or lower. The bitrate is 128. I found that at 128, I get buffering issues a lot. So I lowered that, I think, to 96 and then possibly to 80. I don't remember. But it was a lot lower. The format, 44100, 16-bit. You can change that to 32,000 if you want. 16-bit, I don't know, whatever you think is best for your bandwidth. The protocol is set to Icecast 2 by default. You should probably keep it that way. The user, you may or may not have defined a different user. You probably didn't, so I wouldn't do anything with that. Then there's other stuff that you can set, like the description and the URL and the genre and stuff like that. Again, I wouldn't set too much of this up front. I would go with minimal changes, turn the thing on, see if it's working. If it's not, you have less to troubleshoot, and then try it again and see what happens. As long as you've configured this sensibly, and just keep remembering, the things that keep tripping me up are setting my music directory to some place that MPD cannot access, given that it is running as no user, no group. Or I'm setting a log file to some place that MPD cannot write to. Or weird things like the database file just doesn't want to work the first three times. Or the localhost is set to localhost instead of 127.0.0.1, or something weird like that. So I would make sure that all of your settings in the MPD conf match the icecast.conf, and then try to start MPD as a daemon. which is how it starts. So you start MPD, and it'll start running, and at that point you should be able to point your browser or your media player to the name of your server.com :8000/aug or whatever you called it, and you should hear everything in your MPD playlist playing over an internet stream. The MPD playlist itself, of course, is something that you'll want to build, and the way that you build that is with some kind of MPD front end. I've already told you about two, NCMPCPP being the incurses version, or GMPC being the GTK version. The GTK version is really nice, it's very user-friendly, people will be able to use it. The one tricky thing about it is it's really a client software. So you when you launch the GTK in player GTK music player client, you need to log in to the MPD instance on that computer. Or if you're running GMPC on some other computer, you could log in remotely to the server that is running MPD. So it's kind of even nicer that way. The way to do that is you go to the preferences and you set all of the information in the preferences of GMPC to match your MPD instance on that server. So the port would be 6600, the host name would be, of course, the IP address or whatever of that server that you're logging into, or it would be localhost if that instance of GMPC or whatever is running on your on the same computer as Icecast is. And then the password, of course, would need to be whatever you set the password as in the authentication or the permission block in the MPD configuration file. So get all that figured out, and then you should be able to connect to your MPD service and create playlists, queue things up, stop and start the songs, and all the types of kind of normal music player types of things that you would ever want to do. Simple enough, right? And it really is. It's just once you have Icecast set up, as long as a player supports sending that audio to Icecast, you can stream anything with really minimal effort. I think the final touch for your little internet radio station would be to be able to stream live, and that is done with a tool called Butt. Broadcast using this tool. Butt is, I wouldn't say languishing project, but I would say that there haven't been many updates to it. But so far that doesn't seem to have been a problem at all. I couldn't find it as an installable option for Slackware, so I built a Slack build for it, which you can find at slackermedia.info/slackbuilds. It's butt.tar.gz. I think it also is going to be posted eventually to slackbuilds.org. So if you're on Slackware and need an installer, it now exists. And if you're on any other platform, your package people have probably already hooked you up. So you can just install Butt, B-U-T-T, broadcast using this tool. I have to admit, I was a little bit nervous about this program. I kind of understood that its purpose was to take sound from my line in and then insert that sound into my Icecast stream. So I got that. I just didn't know how it was going to all work. Like, I had all these visions of having to figure out what my line in port was and how to wire that to Butt and then how to get Butt over to the Icecast thing. Believe me, it's a lot simpler than you'd think. Butt has a very simple interface. It's not, it's one window, and it's got a settings button over on the right. Click the settings button, it brings up a new settings window, and you can now configure the thing. So the audio device, of course, would be whatever you want your audio line in to be. By default, it just goes to your whatever your system default sound input is, the default sound card, as set by Ulsa Mixer or whatever you use. I could set it to my USB microphone if I wanted to, however I want to do it. That's the simple part, I think. The server, it gives you a drop-down menu, but if you haven't added a server yet, there won't be anything in that drop-down menu. So you click the Add button, and then you can add your server there. It defaults to Shoutcast, so click over to Icecast, and then you give it a name that isn't a username, that's a name for this server, for your little drop-down menu, of course. That's what this name is. It's not that you're logging in with a username, it's just the name of the server, so that if you have like five different servers that you're going to be streaming to or something like that, that's what this would be. referencing. It's for your own reference. You give it the address of the server, the port that you want to connect to. So the server name, of course, would be localhost, because you're on the computer that is streaming this stuff. Otherwise, I don't know how you're going to get a line in to Icecast. So localhost would be the server name, and then the port, of course, is 8000. The password, which, of course, if you'll recall, is Purple Llamas. Yes, that's very good. And then the mount point that you want to create. Probably for consistency's sake, you'd want to just call it /mp3 or /aug, but you could just as easily create something called, you know, live stream or live or whatever. You can also add stream info, like the name of the stream, a description, a genre, a URL to send people for more information, that sort of thing. And that's pretty much it for server settings. You can then go over to stream, the stream tab, and set things like the bitrate. Again, the default is 128, but on, you know, if you don't have really great bandwidth, you might want to knock that down to 96 or 80. The sample rate by default is 44/100. I knock that down to 32,000 myself. Channel stereo, codec, either MP3 or AUG, whichever you're going for. That's pretty much it for that, I think. Notice that there are also tabs for a tab for recording, REC. This means that, yes, you can record everything on your computer as you are also streaming it, so that way you have a nice little record of everything that happened on your live show or whatever. Once all that's set, you click the connect button, and it connects, and you're good to go. You're streaming live audio. So by now, I think you're probably getting the idea, right? All of these modules or these plugins or whatever you want to call them, they're sources for Icecast. Icecast has been set in place. It exists. All it's waiting for is some stream of data for it to deliver to the world via its little pipeline that it's created. So no matter what, you're a source. So you're a source. So you use your source password. You connect to 8000, you create a mount point, and you're streaming live. Or if you're using MPD, you're connecting to the same place. 8000, you're a source, so you use your source password, and that's it. You start MPD, and now Icecast is spitting out MPD output. If you're using ICES or ICES-CC or whatever, it's the same idea. It's all basically the same setup once you have Icecast in place and understand that all it's requiring is input, so that it can deliver content to the masses. It's as simple as that. I hope this all makes much more sense now than it did at the beginning, and I think I've pretty much exhausted all the possible topics, at least that I know of, concerning Icecast. This is a surprisingly lightweight solution. I didn't really realize how lightweight this was, but I installed it on a Pentium 4, and I can't remember the specs on that, but I think it was only about a gigahertz. It was a Pentium 4, maybe gigahertz, with like 2 gigs of RAM, and it's been running like a champ, and I haven't really had any problems with it. I don't know how many listeners it could have supported. I got fairly high, but I wouldn't say I stress tested a whole lot, but in terms of having a small group of listeners, it did not require a lot of hardware. On the other hand, the big alternate solution that I've been playing around with as well, called Airtime, which I heard about through Alcon DK, I forget how he says it. Check out episode 1166 anyway. And Airtime Radio Automation, it's a really slick package. It's web-based interface. It's really nice. People can use it, and they love it. And it feels like a, you know, web 2.0 and very slick kind of interface. You'll like it. But it's very, very, it's not lightweight. It requires Apache, it requires a bunch of other stuff. It basically requires Debian or Ubuntu to even install. It's a very sort of messy package, I think, in the back, on the back end side. It seems to require a lot of particular things to be set up in a very specific way. But it is very cool. And it's nice, but it's not lightweight. It requires certainly a dual core and a fair amount of RAM, like 4 to 8 gigs, I think. So those are your two options, I think, in terms of the different routes of managing a radio station, an internet radio station, at least that I know of. I shouldn't speak so authoritatively. I'm totally new to this, but those are two good options. So episode 1166 for airtime, and then of course Icecast. You've just heard about it, and I have to thank Kay Wisher and Delwyn and Reggie and someone else who told me about something. I think I mentioned his name earlier. I don't remember now. But yeah, the point is, this episode has been the cumulative effort of a lot of different people, and I'm only doing it on my own because my schedule has been so crazy that I just decided to record some episodes because, hey, the episode count is always low here at Hacker Public Radio, so submit a show, become an expert on something and talk about it, or just talk about something cool. And hacker-related, vaguely hacker-related. So thank you for listening to this. I hope this has helped. It's been a fun journey for me to figure all this stuff out. So, I don't know, set up a streaming server. Play music for people. It's really fun. Thanks. Talk to you later.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HPR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All BinRev projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.